Praise the Lord. Thank you, good Brother Goodwin, I think. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I have just continued to feast in this camp meeting. I'm very deeply grateful for that Bible lesson this morning. If you didn't hear it, if you weren't able to be here, I encourage you to listen to that. It's something I need, I believe many of us need, to just remember who does it all belong to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. Join me in standing, if you would. I'm going to read several verses, so I ask you to do your best to stay hooked in with that. I know there's always a danger in reading a lengthy passage. Genesis chapter 26. I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. Genesis 26, beginning our reading with verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called them their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. I'd like to preach from this thought with the help of the Lord this afternoon. Dig another well. Dig another well. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing among us. We are deeply grateful for your presence, for your help, for the way you've been speaking and working, giving strength and victory and renewal, Lord. We are grateful. We believe, Lord, this afternoon, this is what you want for this service. We believe, Lord, you're wanting to speak to some hearts, young, middle-aged, and old alike, Lord, along these lines. And I pray that you'd help me, help us, help every one of us to catch a vision that's from above, Lord, that goes beyond our human strength, where we must depend and rely upon you. Lord, we ask for these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Dig another well. Isaac stands out in Scripture in that he doesn't stand out that much at all. Abraham, he was, of course, Isaac's father. He was the father of faith. He was the founder of a whole new nation. He was a daring pioneer. He was a military conqueror. And we could go on and on the list of what Abraham was. And then Isaac's son, Jacob, or later on Israel. He was skilled, he was cunning, he was a negotiator, the father of 13. He became a prince with God. He's the man that down to this very hour, the Jews are called, the land of Israel is called by his name. He's somebody memorable. But sandwiched in between these two more dominant characters, figures, you find a man named Isaac. He didn't make a big splash or a big show. In fact, if you read over what's written about him, we read, in many ways, the most significant part of his life. I know other things happened, but Isaac dug wells. would you like for people to remember you that way? Think of Joe Smith. He was a well digger. You know, it's not flashy. It's not spectacular. It's not something that probably is going to be used in a lot of sermon illustrations or telling a lot of inspiring stories. It's digging wells. And it'd be easy for us to overlook this passage. It'd be easy for us to not get real excited about it. But understand that just because we don't get initially excited about digging wells does not mean they have no significance. J. Hudson Taylor said, "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His being with them." And I want to talk this afternoon about weak people doing what God wants them to do in His power. Hallelujah. You see, wells, when you live in the Midwest or the East, I guess somewhat maybe in Kansas you understand this, but you really can't understand the significance of wells until you've lived in a dry climate. That Wisemans can say amen to that. I grew up primarily in Phoenix and lived out there till just a few months ago. We moved back there. The Lord led us back there, and we lived out there again. And it was re-emphasized to me when I moved back there 5 years ago how dry it really is. Summer came along, and I remembered how much you have to drink out there to stay hydrated. I mean, that sun just saps moisture, and it doesn't get replenished very often. Day after day after day, you can pretty well predict the forecast for the next month or 2 months. It's going to be sunshine, for good or for bad. And this was the kind of area that Isaac was traveling in. He was traveling in an area that was very arid. It was very brown. In fact, my wife, when we moved to Mesa, Arizona, my wife said, "Everything is a different shade of dirt. It's dry. It's barren. It's sometimes a bit ugly. It's not inviting and warm like where we just moved to, where there's green grass and trees and lots of moisture." But Isaac has been called to travel in these areas. He's been asked, as God asked his father to be, a stranger, a sojourner, a pilgrim in this land. And Isaac has been called here, whether it's pretty, attractive, desirous, or not. Amen. And in that time period, water was even more important because they didn't have all the irrigation channels, etc., all the technology along those lines that we have today. And so when a nomadic people would move into an area, one of the very first things they would do is begin to dig. Of course, they didn't have drilling machines like we have today, and they would just dig. And they'd keep digging and keep digging. Can you imagine what kind of work was involved in that? Probably some kind of pulley system, as they would have a bucket going down and filling it with dirt and pulling it up. And who knows what kind of depth they had to dig to at times. But they dug until they got water. They dug until they got a fresh supply. And then that water spot became central. It became integral to their dwelling in that area. And so when an enemy would come along, one of the first things the enemy would do after conquering the people is the enemy, if they weren't planning to inhabit that area, to make sure they would just kind of put the finishing touch on those people, they'd just come in with the soldiers, probably, and they would take and they'd fill up those wells. They'd just stick the dirt in. Ruin the supply. And that would just seemingly ensure that area, that spot, wouldn't be re-inhabited, at least not for a long time and without a lot of effort. And so understand, Isaac's been called to roam, to dwell in these areas. Sound exciting? Sound fun? Not really. Not necessarily. I'm not sure if Isaac had been choosing his task in this season of his life, I'm not sure he would have just said, "Lord, would you just help me to be a well digger?" I'm just not sure that's what Isaac was praying for. But it's something he was called to do nonetheless. I want to begin by noticing that Isaac recovered initially his father's wells. Somewhere along the way between Abraham's days of glory and now Isaac's days of being the patriarch of that time period, somewhere in that miserable middle, if you please, the Philistines, which represent the enemy of God, the enemy today of our soul, Satan himself, the Philistines had gotten in, and they'd come into these areas where Abraham had dug wells, and they'd come in and they'd filled them with dirt. They had come and wreaked havoc and destruction, damage on what once was a life-giving supply. And friends, how we see that all around us. We see churches that once were full, that once had the glory and power of God, that once were soul-winning stations. And now, if they are open, there's just a handful, maybe of faithful, dear people, but just a handful. No vision, no finances, no future. And many of them, tragically, friends, many of them are no longer even open. What's happened? Well, we could list probably 1,001 stories of what has happened as far as the details. But many times, if we just were to summarize it, if we were just get right down to the bottom line, the enemy got in and worked destruction just like he always does. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And whether it was a church split or a church boss or just people losing the vision and victory in their souls, whatever it is, whatever the reason was, the bottom line is the well is now full of dirt. It no longer gives fresh supply. It's no longer a life-giving source. It's no longer a place where people can know that if they go there, they're going to get something for their souls. No, it's filled in with dirt. The enemy's done his dirty work. See, Isaac, though he began to prosper, God allowed the king of the Philistines, Abimelech here, he allowed Isaac to get shoved out of his comfort zone. Oh, Lord, do that more. He allowed Isaac to get shoved out of his comfort zone. And in doing that, Isaac began to catch the vision. Because he had to travel now, he began to catch the vision of beginning to redig, the Bible says initially, some of his father's wells. Hallelujah. I don't know if this one was actually dug by his father or not, but you find earlier in Genesis, there was the well Beer Lahai Roy. The well, it means of him that liveth and seeth me. That's the place where Hagar met God. It's the place where Isaac first saw Rebekah, his new bride. And it's the place where Isaac dwelt for a time after Abraham died. Now, I don't know for sure if he redug that one, but it's very possible. And if he did, it was Isaac getting back to the basics and recognizing that the God whom his father knew was the same God that saw and knew where he was. Hallelujah. Friends, be encouraged. Be freshly challenged. The same God of the heroes that we talk about is the same God who's been meeting with us in this camp meeting. He's the same God that wants to meet with you in your personal prayer and give you some fresh promises and give you a fresh calling from Him. Hallelujah. But we're going to have to be willing for God to stir us up, move us out of our comfort zones, and start digging. You see, when a songwriter writes, "My God is enough," he's proved it o'er and o'er. He's never known to fail. His power still prevails. Down through the tests of time, God's people always find whatever life may bring, God is enough. You don't write that song unless you've proven God in the test. And Isaac began to redig some of his father's wells. And I just believe there's some senior saints, some middle-aged people of God. I believe there's some young individuals that God's speaking to you about redigging some wells. Digging some wells, maybe it's at your local church. Maybe it's been a long time since you've had a service where the Lord just came in and took over. And the easy thing to do is say, well, I sure wish our pastor would get under the burden. I remember back when we used to have good services. I remember back when we used to have new people come to church. Well, I sure wish our pastor would get busy. And maybe he needs to. I don't know. I don't know your pastor. Or at least I don't know his details. Maybe there's some truth to that. But you see, Isaac reached a point where he recognized he was personally responsible. And he wasn't around looking to see if so-and-so was digging a well, and this friend and that companion and this issue. He recognized it was his time to start digging himself. And he began with what he knew. Hallelujah. He went back to those precious old memories. Maybe he got before the Lord. Now let me use my imagination a little bit. Maybe he got before the Lord and said, Lord, I remember when you met my daddy at this well. I remember our family were really thirsty, Lord, and Abraham got busy. In fact, Lord, I helped dig this well with my daddy. And now, Lord, we're back here. I remember you years ago doing this, and Lord, we're back right here. And Lord, now my family needs it. Amen? Amen? Friends, this is our responsibility. It's our time. Not their time, not the future generation's time. This is our time. See, there are wells of doctrine, wells of experience, wells of ministry, wells of relationship, wells of healing, wells of strengthening, wells of reopening and rebuilding that God wants to replenish us with. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that God wants to help us to accomplish some things through His power for His glory. Praise the Lord. Well, he began by redigging daddy's wells, but there came a point when Isaac felt like maybe it was time for him to step out and dig some new wells. Ever been there? And the Lord's asking you, maybe He's been helping you, maybe He's been growing you, maybe you've been faithful, maybe you've been redigging some wells that you're familiar with, that to some degree or another you're comfortable with. But then God says, I want you to step out and I want you to go to something that you know that in your strength and your wisdom, you cannot handle it. It's very scary and very exciting. And Isaac launches out. Boy, this is going to be great. You can just imagine. I'm going to dig a brand new well, one that nobody's ever dug. That is exciting. And he heads out, and the Bible tells us that he began to dig a well, and his servants found a well of springing water. How exciting! The Lord asked me to open a new church, let's say. He asked me to open a new church, and I'm telling you, we're 1 month into it, and somebody got saved. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. And they're really hungry for God. Wow. It says his servants found, we might call this an artesian well, a spring of water. It was exciting. Hallelujah. God's helping us. Praise the Lord. Kingdom's advancing. Everything's going great. But then the herdmen of Gerar show up. That just simply means the enemy, the Philistines. See, the enemy can come in multiple different forms. Sometimes outside the church, sometimes inside the church, sometimes outside the family, sometimes inside the family. The enemy shows up. And they say, wait a minute, that's our water. What do you do then? Well, we fight. Sometimes. Sometimes. But sometimes you just need to step away and recognize that the Lord has a different spot for you. There is a time when the Lord prompts us to stand our ground and fight for something. There's also a time when the Lord says, son, daughter, just peacefully step away. Don't make an issue. Remember, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. They're not ultimately the problem. There's a dark, sinful force behind all of this. And I'm asking you to leave this with me. And so Isaac, as he leaves, probably, I'm guessing that this is when he named it, as he leaves that well, the battle has ensued. The enemy has claimed this territory. And Isaac feels, I guess by the leadership of the Lord, we're going to say that, Isaac feels it's time to move on. And he names the well Essek. Doesn't that sound nice? Until you know what it means contention. So he named the well, and so we can understand it, so I can understand it. He said, we're going to call this well family, we're going to call this well contention. But one thing I'm thankful he did is he left it in the past. And there's times when we have to step away from situations, and they're painful, and they weren't fair, and the enemy got in, and while we may have made our mistakes, we know that we were not ultimately the problem. And sometimes the Lord just asks us, yes, to call it what it is, but to leave it behind. Paul said something like that in Philippians chapter 3, didn't he? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm just old enough in this to know I'm still quite young, thank the Lord. I like to think so. But I'm just old enough to understand there are some things God has not asked me to fix or figure out. I didn't say I wouldn't like to. I didn't say I'm never curious. I just said I've come to the realization that sometimes God says, David, the things that are mysterious belong to the Lord. You do what you know. Boy, that'll keep us occupied enough. And so he moves on. He moves on, and he gets to another spot, and he says, well, there was a battle last time. I felt like we just needed to move on. We're going to dig a well here. And they dig a well in this spot. You look there in chapter 26, verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also. Boy, it'd just be nice if you just have one battle. You know, I've proved myself. Lord, I was faithful in that battle. Thank you, Lord. I got the plaque. Got the medal. Thank you, Lord. Got my battle done. Now let's move on to success. But that's not how it worked. Here he is working, trying to honor the Lord, trying to provide for his family. And he goes to another spot. And this time, as they're leaving this spot, because they had to leave again, it's called Sitnah. And it means hatred. Wow. If you thought the enemy fought for the first one, I wonder how he fought for the second. And friends, sometimes it seems like we go from the frying pan to the whatever it's called. I don't cook enough. We think everything's going to, if I can just get there, everything will be peaceful. If the Lord would just call me over there, there'd be no problems there. Two things to remember in that. Number one, the devil's there. Number two, people will be there, including you. Amen. I know that's really profound, but it is profound. And Isaac gets to this second stop, faces intense warfare again, so intense he feels the need to leave. Now, this is a little bit funny, a couple of these, but I hope they'll help us to make the point. One author says this is how you can tell when it's going to be a rotten day. You wake up face down on the pavement. You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. Your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels on the freeway. The bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. Your income tax check bounces. Another author says, a friend of mine awoke one morning to find a puddle of water in the middle of his king-size waterbed. Some of us remember those. In order to fix the puncture in the waterbed, he rolled the heavy mattress outdoors and filled it with more water so he could locate the leak more easily. The enormous bag of water was impossible to control and began rolling on the hilly terrain. He tried to hold the mattress back, but it headed downhill and landed in a clump of bushes, which poked it full of holes. Disgusted, he said, my friend threw out the waterbed frame and moved a standard bed into his room. The next morning, he awoke to find a puddle of water in the middle of the new bed, for you see, the upstairs bathroom had a leaky drain. Doctor to patient, I have bad news and worse news. Patient, let's have it. The bad news is that you only have 24 hours to live. I can't imagine what would be worse than that. I forgot to tell you yesterday. Now, friends, those are amusing little stories. But if any of those happen in real life, or even half or a third or a quarter of that, it's not fun. It might, we hope it will be funny later, but it's not fun in the process. And this business of God calling us to dig wells, we must recognize that there is deep joy in serving the Lord and in following Him where He has planted us, but it is not promised to be easy. That's why the songwriter would put, deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, take me deeper still. And one thing I appreciate about Isaac, this just kind of non-exciting man, is that he didn't seem to be a quitter. Because he went on and moved to another spot to dig another well. Hallelujah. And thankfully, this time, God enlarged him. Now, not physically. God caused there to be blessing and growth and stability. And he named it Rehoboth. Hallelujah. I asked Brother Smith for the details of this, and I'm going to do my best to get them right. If you know Grandpa Smith, that's Brother Joe Smith's father, you're a blessed individual. He's a great saint of God. I hope every one of you have the chance to meet him before his time is up. He's 91, is that correct? 90, 91. Story is told from Brother Smith's early Christian life. He was saved in, I think it was Church of the Brethren. God sanctified him wholly, saved him, and a couple nights later sanctified him wholly. But he was attending a church there, probably the only church he had, that they had stepped away from the doctrine of entire sanctification. But Brother Lewis Smith, as a teenager, felt like he was to testify to it. God had done the work in his heart. There was a church boss in that church. And Brother Lewis Smith, they called him Smitty. Brother Lewis Smith had the responsibility. He had a key. And he had the responsibility of making sure the old wood stove that heated the church, that it stayed full. And there was a supply there. And one day he lost the key and he went to this particular individual or individuals. And he mentioned to them that he had lost the key. And, well, for whatever their reasons were, they accused him and said, you didn't lose this key. You're trying to steal coal or wood for your family. Now, Brother Smith talked about how poor his family was. Well, I don't know about you. I think I do, but I know about me. And when someone accuses me, especially of something that I know I'm not guilty of, it does not feel good. And my tendency and your tendency, not necessarily carnally, our tendency is to be defensive. And so this man, this church boss, went around and he spread this rumor about Brother Lewis Smith. And one of the individuals in the church came to Brother Smith and he said, "Is this true?" Brother Smith said, "No, it's not true." And the man said, "I didn't think it was." He says, "I'm going to go around and I'm going to make sure all the church people know that you did not do this." And Brother Lewis Smith, you talk about spiritual wisdom at a young age. Brother Lewis Smith said to this individual, he said, "No, I don't want you to do that." And he just believed that God knew how to fight his battles and that he was just supposed to keep going on being faithful. You can imagine how it was at church time. Brother Lewis Smith stood up and testified. And these lies about him had been spread. And you can just imagine how the church people looked at him. Yeah, right. But time went on. And Brother Lewis Smith just stayed faithful to God, kept the clear testimony, kept the root of bitterness from his heart by the grace and help of God. Time went on, and that church boss, of course, who had spiritual problems, he lost out completely. If he hadn't been already, I guess he would have been. And he left the church through an altercation that he had with another individual. He left the church. Now some years have passed. Someone's trying to reach to him, get him to come back to church. And he told this individual something like this. He said, "Friend, I'm not ready right now, but when I am ready, I want the kind of religion that Smitty has." Now, friends, I share that story because when God calls us to begin to dig some wells in some places, we can count on it. There's going to be battles. There's going to be contention. There's at times going to be accusations, and there are going to be challenges, and some of them very, very deep. And God is calling us to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And God's asking us to be obedient, to be faithful, to trust Him, and keep digging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, before this story is done, Isaac reached a place where he returned to a place, to a location called Beersheba. Verse 24 says, "The Lord appeared unto him the same night and says, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." And there's more that took place at that. But I will say, friends, when you respond to God's call and you begin to dig wells of obedience where the Lord has planted you, man, that's key. And maybe that planting, maybe He's endeavoring to stir you up and call you either to redig some old wells, or maybe He's prompting you into something brand new that you're totally unfamiliar with. Friends, respond in obedience. Step out, believe God, be willing to work, and recognize that when you do, the result will be an awesome reverence of God. You will find Him to prove true in providential test. Hallelujah. You'll find Him to prove Himself to you in ways that maybe you didn't dream that He could to you. Oh, you knew for other people, but I'm talking about for you. I'm winding down here. There's a couple things I feel like I maybe want or need to share. I remember being in Detroit, Michigan. We were there for 5 years. I was working in a Christian school and a church there. I remember it was 2006, 10 years ago. We were on Christian school teacher salary. How many of you can relate to that? We had little Caden. Caden was just a few months old. So I remember on that February day, we had a snow day. I told my wife that morning, I said, sweetheart, we need $150 to $200 to pay our bills. We need that. But God had been helping me, and I just felt like, Brother Douglas, felt like I wanted to prove the Lord true in that need. I remember going over to the church, and I took my time of prayer there in the sanctuary. Then I went over into my classroom, sat down at the desk, began to read, and I was just reading in my regular devotions. By the way, I just want to add here, a great place to find promises from God. I know this from personal experience. A great place to find promises from God is in your daily reading. And I was reading in Daniel. And I have it marked in my Bible, I think with the date. And God brought me to the passage where the king said to Daniel before he was to go in the lions, and he said, the God whom thou servest faithfully, he shall deliver thee. And it was just one of those moments, and you know what I'm talking about if you've had the Lord do this. It's one of those moments when the Holy Spirit said, David, that's for you. I knew that. I visited with the pastor a little bit, headed back over to our house. And I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, God gave me a promise that he is going to meet our need. Now, I'd sure like to tell you it happens every time like it just did in this story. It doesn't. But God will be faithful if he's promised. I don't think it was probably more than a couple hours. We received a knock on the door. I went to the door and there was Sister Sue. You probably don't know Sister Sue, but she's a dear sanctified saint. And Sister Sue, she married outside of God's will in days when she wasn't really walking with God and later got back to the Lord, and God has helped her to be a sweet, submitted, sanctified wife. She was at the door. She had an envelope. And she looked at me and she said, my husband told me to give this to you. Friends, it wasn't that I didn't have a good relationship with her husband. I just had little to no relationship with him. Not no, because every once in a while I saw him. But I think in the 5 years that I was there in that ministry, I don't know if he came to church 2, 3, 4 times, if that. If I would see him, maybe it was more at a gathering of some sort. Maybe a school service or something. And I also want to emphasize that he had never given us anything before that, and he never gave us anything after that. And I thanked her, of course, closed the door, and I went and took the envelope and put it under my mattress. No, of course I didn't go put it under my mattress. No, I opened it. And would you believe that in that envelope, I told my wife that morning we needed $150 to $200. Would you believe that in that envelope was $200? Now, friends, you don't find God proving himself to you that way unless you've been willing to dig a well. Amen. Don't misunderstand. That's not bragging. I just knew the Lord had called me to that place. I knew that. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, you'll find that when you're digging wells, you'll find the truth of the song when it says, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me. With a special mercy for each hour, all my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made.
Help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. It was 2005. There was a group of young people. When I say young, I'm talking about most of them, if not all of them, were in their 20s. Maybe at the oldest, 30. And this group of young people, a young couple with 3 children, another young couple with no children, a single man, a single woman, they all began to feel the burden to move from Arizona to California. Now, they weren't going there because of promising job offers. They weren't going there to see the popular Southern California sights. They were going there because God had begun to burden their young hearts. God had begun to burden their young hearts to move over and reopen a work, a holiness work that had closed down. Could I just apply this here? To reopen a well that had been filled with dirt. It was exciting and scary. One of them, I think, did a job transfer, but I think the others had to just kind of find a job, find work, find employment. God helped them there in Southern California in 2005 to reopen or to continue a little dying or dead work there in San Bernardino, California. Huh. I've watched across the years as they have gone through testings and battles. I've watched when things seemingly have been down to almost nothing. I've also watched when God broke that group up, not out of disharmony, but because God was spreading them. I watched as my sister and brother-in-law were called to Palmdale, California, to reopen a work that had died there. And friends, I can assure you, knowing all of them, I can assure you there has been work involved. There have been difficult, painful days. But friends, I'll tell you, there has been blessing involved. And there are souls, I mean souls that didn't know God at all beforehand, that have gotten to God and are now called to preach, established spiritually. There are individuals that maybe had been wandering or struggling or maybe were backslidden that God has helped to get back in the fold. And I'm watching God's glory move in the youth convention that was brand new and the camp meeting that was revived and revitalized. And it was all because a group of young people left their comfortable surroundings. Left, if you please, and I say this carefully because no pastor likes for this to happen, but left their comfortable home church under the direction of God to go build and dig some wells. And friend, it has been worth it. It has been worth it. The sweat, the toil, the battles, the challenges, the misunderstandings, and they've all been there. It's been worth it. And there are works alive today. I mean works that are spilling out fresh, living, spiritual water. I know because I've drank them. Because some individuals were just willing to let God help them be well diggers. Stand with me if you would. My lot in life may never be to travel far across the sea, but I'll be faithful where the Lord's commissioned me. My feet may never press the sand of some distant heathen land, but I'll be faithful where the Lord's commissioned me. To hear him say, "My child, well done," will be for me a race well run. Naught else will matter then at all but faithfulness to my Lord's call. My one desire will always be, when life becomes eternity, to be found faithful right where the Lord's commissioned me. You're dismissed. Go with God.